Today on Real Radio.
He conquered the cross. But there's a cross there in Rome. And Jesus is crucified on one side and the Virgin Mary is crucified on the other side. That is blasphemy. That is an abomination.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues now in his verse-by-verse look at this first New Testament letter written by the Apostle John. 1 John. Now, in the first couple of verses of the second chapter, the Apostle John gets deeper into his earlier thoughts, assuring believers that if we do sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ himself. Isn't that great? He then goes on to say that Jesus is the propitiation for our sins. In other words, the atonement, the payment. And all that is good news. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs in a study called What Does Born Again Mean?
Ecclesiastes chapter 7 verse 20 says, For there is not one just man on earth who does good and does not sin. Ecclesiastes 7:20. Listen to this, James 4:17. This is very convicting verse. In fact, I don't like this verse. James says in chapter 4, verse 17, he says, Therefore, to him who knows to do good and doesn't do it, to him it is sin. Okay, let me put it to you this way. Do you know anybody who's orphaned? Or do you know anybody who's abandoned? Do you know a family, a wife and kids who have been abandoned? Did you pray today? Did I pray today for my governmental and your governmental leaders today? Did you seek out today anyone who might be in need? No. The scripture says if you know what the good thing is to do and you don't do that, you're sinning. See, we live in such a response-reward society. If I stay within the lines, I won't get busted. So, you can come and see my drawing, and I've drawn within the lines. Nobody cares about the color, but I've drawn within the lines. Where God says, listen, I care about both the lines and the color. God says this. There are sins of omission that we commit by not doing the right thing. Isn't that wild? So even when you and I are having our best day, gosh, I didn't have a bad thought. I didn't chew anybody out. I didn't do this. Just when you think you're like just having a great Wednesday, somebody gives you James 4:17 and says, well, that's good, but all the things that you should have did today that you didn't do? No, that's sin. My gosh, now listen. You're thinking, I can't win for losing. Oh, no, don't think that way. That's the carnal way to think. The right way to think is, I guess I'm just a big sinner all the way around. And the Lord says, that's right. Cool, now you got it. That's how you get to heaven. As long as you're justifying yourself and trying to cover up your wrong, you'll never make it there. To be born again is to experience the working of the Holy Spirit who says, guess what? You've blown it. And you know if in your heart and in your life, in the deep resolve of who you are, you can turn on the inside of who you are and you can say, you know what? I know that you're right, God. I know that you're right. I need you. And that's a touchdown. Because you can never experience Jesus Christ as your Savior until He delivers you from what you need to be saved from. You must know it. And so John is saying, my little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin. But look what he says. He says at the latter end of verse 1, if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. That's the second thing we want to see tonight, that the Christian's defender is Jesus alone. Jesus alone. That's what the latter end of verse 1 is all about. If anyone sins, you know, can your hand like go up? I mean, yeah. I mean, don't you love the latter end of verse 1? If anybody sins, I mean, we wouldn't stand up here in this congregation tonight and say, whoa, that really excites me. Well, why would it excite you? Well, because I need an advocate right about now. Hallelujah. I'll do it for you. We all need the latter end of verse 1. Why? Because my defender and your defender is Jesus alone. Well, why do we use the word defender? Look at the word advocate. The word advocate here is a wonderful word. Advocate, it's the Greek word parakletos, which is often mentioned regarding the person of the Holy Spirit. Here it says Jesus is our parakletos. The one who, para, comes alongside, kletos, to bring comfort to us. One who comes alongside to comfort us and to intercede and to lead us and guide us. That's the Jesus that you believe in. He comes alongside you. Now, the Holy Spirit does that in our lives moment by moment. Jesus does it every moment of our lives, and He's in heaven. The Holy Spirit's in you. Jesus is in heaven, and He's our advocate with the Father. Look at the statements just before it. If anyone sins, we have. This is glorious. If anyone sins. First of all, sin has a great power. Sin, Satan loves because he uses it against us. But the fact is that we're fallen creatures. We're plagued by sin. The other fact is that sin becomes very, very visible to us because of God's law. In Romans chapter 7, Paul the Apostle said, I didn't know that sin existed in my life until the law came. And Paul says, the moment the law showed up, sin within me that I didn't know was there revived and I died spiritually. But Paul goes on to say that the law could not lead someone to salvation. So if anyone sins, well, of course, everyone does. We have this advocate with the Father. And we need to thank God for this tonight. Right now, the Bible says Jesus is making intercession for us. Now, in one of the commentaries that I was studying in, this guy's a Greek scholar, and this is what he said about this portion of Scripture. This is radical. And I'm going to give it to you and let you chew on this, because I'm still chewing on it. He said that what's implied here is that Jesus, who dwells on eternity, knows the sin that you're going to stumble over next hour or tomorrow. So Jesus is making advocacy for you now in anticipation of that sin. What is our responsibility as Christians? We saw it last week. When we sin, what are we to do with the sin? Confess it. That's all we're called upon, is to confess the sin to God. He forgives. How does God the Father forgive? Based upon the intercessory work of Jesus Christ, Jesus is empowered to do His intercessory work based upon His offering of His own blood upon the altar of God. So Jesus, though you are going to, am I confusing you? Listen carefully. If you sin tomorrow, Jesus makes an advocacy for you now based upon the fact that He died for our sins 2,000 years ago. The blood has been deposited on the mercy seat in heaven, Hebrews chapter 9 and 10 tells us. What we're to do is when we sin, we confess it, and we, even in that sin and confessing of it, continue to walk in the light as He is in the light. Isn't that beautiful? If I didn't confuse you? I'm walking tomorrow. Jesus knows I'm about to sin. He knows it in advance. I sin in thought or in deed. He's already been interceding for me. He makes advocacy to who? The Father, based upon His sacrifice at the cross, Jesus presented his blood in the temple in heaven, not on earth, thank God, before the Father. And we experience continuous light walking with God. It's awesome. It's radical. It's outrageous. It's liberating. It's fantastic. So that we, as children of God, can enjoy this Christian life. Waking up to the fact that God has made the world for us. That the cloud that goes by can look just like a giraffe. If we would just back off and live with God ever before our face, we shouldn't lose the wonder. A child walking in that state of acceptance, a child walking in that state of experience with God can only succeed, can only flourish. And when they fall down, their father from the sidelines or from above says, "Get up, John, you can go. Keep going, buddy. But I sinned." "Yes, and you confess that, and I forgive you. Now go, go. Enjoy it. Go. Walk your walk." And we continue on. This is fantastic because, you know, Paul the Apostle says our God's holy. Peter says he's holy. But we are unholy. But through Jesus Christ, he has deemed us holy because he sees the finished work in our lives. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 29, Paul says, "For our God is a consuming fire." Now that's rather scary, don't you think? Our God is a consuming fire. That's an awesome thing. If you think about God being so holy and so powerful, you come to realize quickly that I need an advocate. And this word is a legal term. It means that he's going to argue for us. Now, in light of Revelation 12:10, that says that Satan accuses us day and night, what a beautiful thing it is that Jesus is our advocate. Satan can accuse us all day and night long. But the beautiful thing is Jesus stands up and makes advocacy for us. The word to be an advocate means a representative, one that stands in for us, to come alongside, to console, to comfort. This is wonderful news because it says we have an advocate with the Father. God is holy. We are unholy. How do we have a platform before God the Father, who is a consuming fire? By Jesus Christ. That's a wonderful thing. That causes the Christian to rejoice. By the way, if at this hour you do not know Jesus as your advocate, you need to change that. You need to realize that right now, to you, God is that consuming fire. And the Scripture tells us very carefully that we need to be careful whenever we hear the gospel, that we need to receive it and mix it with faith and have it be vital in our lives, because if we don't, if you're in here this evening and you don't think you need Jesus, do you realize that at this hour you have no advocate before the Father and yourself? You are a breath away from eternity without a defender of your life. I mean, that is frightening to think. If I died now, would Jesus stand up and defend me? It's funny, you know, we live in this life of attorneys. I mean, if you don't have an attorney, it's just a matter of time before you get one. All the attorneys say, "Amen." But what naivety it is of us in this world to think that we don't need an attorney before God on such a very, very serious legal issue, and that is the Ten Commandments. No, we need the advocate, Jesus Christ, our attorney. Very quickly, let's keep going. The third and final thing here is in verse 2. The Christian's debt of sin has been paid in full. It says here, "And he himself is our," look at this word, "propitiation." He's our propitiation. That's a mouthful, isn't it? He's the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the whole world. We're going to just divide this into two parts right here. First of all, look at this. Look at the wonderful uniqueness of Jesus. He himself. So whoever you are tonight, whoever we are right now this evening, are we born again? If we're born again, we have Jesus Christ defending our case before a holy God in heaven, God the Father. In the midst of all of the evil accusations, Jesus says, they're covered in my sin. I represent them. I take their blame. Propitiation. He's the one who satisfies. Jesus is the sole, unique Savior of the world. You cannot experience heaven apart from Jesus Christ. And by the way, He is Lord and Savior. The Bible says throughout the Old Testament that the Lord God, He is one, there's no other like Him, and He is Savior. That means there's one Savior, there's one Lord, there's one God. And the Bible says that we ought to be looking, Titus 2:13, to Jesus Christ, who is our great God and Savior. There's only one. God revealed Himself to mankind through Jesus Christ. We know this, but to rejoice in this is another thing. He's our propitiation. The word means our atonement. He's the one that has paid the price. He's canceled the debt, the sacrifice. He's the payment. By the way, Jesus is not the co-atonement. The word is exclusive. He's the only one. He's not the co-sacrifice. He's not the co-payment. He paid it all. The Bible says when Jesus was lifted up on the cross that all of our sins and the handwriting of ordinances that were against us, God nailed it to Jesus' cross. Isn't that great? There's a statue in Rome. It's blasphemous, actually. I'm sure God is going to break it in half someday. It is absolutely blasphemous. There's a crucifix. It's huge. There's a crucifix of Jesus Christ crucified. I don't like to see paintings with Jesus crucified on it. I don't like it. Why? He's not crucified anymore. He's enthroned. Now, if you want to do some computer graphics and lift Him off of that cross and have Him sitting on top of it, that's a good throne to be sitting on. He conquered the cross. But there's a cross there in Rome. And Jesus is crucified on one side and the Virgin Mary is crucified on the other side. That is blasphemy. That is an abomination to God, and God will absolutely destroy not only that icon, but any who hold that doctrine. Jesus Christ is Lord alone. He is not co-redeemer. He's the Redeemer. The Bible makes it extremely clear that He's the only one. In Romans 3:25, it says God presented Jesus as a sacrifice of propitiation, atonement. Through faith in His blood, He did this to demonstrate His justice. That alone is an awesome declaration. Jesus had to go to the cross because God's law says that the soul that sinneth, it shall surely die. That's God's law. That's God's justice. It's true. It doesn't change. But you see, a good man couldn't have died for us. It had to be the God-man. It had to be Jesus Christ. So yes, Jesus Christ died for us, but Jesus Christ also died for God to vindicate the Word of God. Jesus, it's so awesome if you think, Jesus standing in the middle of mankind and of deity. That deity came and clothed Himself in humanity, reached out, so to speak, to one side, to the left, reached out to the right, and to bridge the two together, it had to be Christ. It had to be God in human flesh, sinless Christ. Why? Because He took all of man's suffering and all of man's sin and all of man's pain, and He associated with us, yet without sin. And He pulled the side of humanity over to one side, and in all of His godhood and all of His deity, He pulled holiness over to the other side, and He mended them together. That's why the Bible says there's one mediator between mankind and God, and that is the man Christ Jesus. It's incredible. Do you know Jesus? Have you said, Lord, I want to be born again? 1 John chapter 4, verse 10 says, in this is love. Not that we loved God, but that He loved us. That's a miracle. And He sent His Son to be our propitiation for our sins. And then Hebrews chapter 2, verse 17 and 18 says, therefore, in all things, He had to be made like unto his brethren, that's us, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make propitiation, atonement, for the sins of the people. For in that he himself has suffered being tempted, he is able to aid those who are tempted. He died so that you wouldn't ever have to die in eternity. But to those who reject Christ, they live an eternal dying, if I can put it that way. Bad English, but it's graphic and it's true. They live a forever death. Well, my friend who's a Mormon says they just, it's annihilation kind of a thing. Isn't that convenient that Satan has told them that? Yeah, and my Jehovah Witness friend, he says that when you die, you just cease to exist. There's no life after the grave. Isn't that an interesting line by Satan? Jesus came on the scene and he said, I have come to give you life. Are you born again? It doesn't take much. Can you become like a child? That's what it takes. Will you believe what God says? God says, come to me. Last verse, Romans chapter 2, verse 4 and 5. Amplified version of the Bible says this. Do you show contempt for all the riches of God's kindness, his tolerance and his patience, not realizing that God's kindness is intended to lead you toward repentance? And if you cannot see this, it's because you're stubborn and your heart is unrepentful and you're still lost and you yourself are storing up wrath against yourself for the day of God's wrath when his righteous judgment is revealed on you. Now, honestly, I gave you that verse in closing. If it applies to you, maybe it doesn't apply to anybody tonight in here. Maybe somebody's going to get the tape or hear the message and it applied to them. Are you stubborn? Are you hard of heart? If tonight you say, you know, I am stubborn, I am hard of heart, that's a great thing to be able to admit. Your next confession should be, Jesus, forgive me of my sins.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, taking us through the first two verses of 1 John chapter 2. The lesson answers the question, what does born again mean? What does born again mean? That's the title of what we heard today. It's part of Pastor Jack's verse-by-verse series that really delves into the three New Testament books written by the Apostle John. And we'll continue with more on Monday's edition of Real Radio. Speaking of which, every Monday night you can catch our television program called Real Life with Jack Hibbs. Real Life with Jack Hibbs airs every Monday night, 7 o'clock West Coast time, on hischannel.com. And this time around, you might find it particularly interesting. You're going to hear Pastor Jack's personal testimony. Now, everyone's story of coming to Christ is profound in some way, and Pastor Jack's story is no exception. Pastor Jack's personal testimony on Monday's broadcast of Real Life with Jack Hibbs. Real Life with Jack Hibbs every Monday night, 7 o'clock West Coast time, on hischannel.com. And remember that we are once again making the book Turnaround at Home available for you as our special just-in-time for Christmas offer. For your gift of any amount to the ongoing broadcast outreach of Real Radio, we'll send you Turnaround at Home, the new book written by Pastor Jack and Lisa Hibbs. Now, here's a good idea. Put your request in right away to make sure it gets to you by Christmas time. Whether you call, click, or write, just ask for that book by name, Turnaround at Home. Our telephone number here at Real Radio, 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-RR-RADIO. Or visit realradioactive.org to place your gift and request Turnaround at Home, the new book written by Pastor Jack and Lisa Hibbs. If you'd like, write to us at Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. And of course, all of our contact info can be found right there at realradioactive.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.